Blog Talk Radio.
Do you wanna make it better?
Think of her, think of me. Think about us since the intimacy. I'm trying to strum you like guitars in this beat. And you sit around and you kick the blase flea. Plus, you got a man, but he ain't quite me. This type of man is trying to get you what you need. And he wanna know where you are, where you be, where you going, where you stay, where you subject to be. Damn. If I was him, I wouldn't even need. I would trust you when you say that you are what you be. Say, he the type of nigga that tell a chick, take his girl on a date and they go to Mickey D's. Say, I'm the type to try to stab in the Jeep, try to take you out to see things and occasionally creep. Yeah, your man is doing things I can't really see. Don't sound too good, it sounds tainted to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're now tuned in to GEI Radio, Necessary Convo. I am your host, Tone. I got my co-host, GG. What's going on?
Everything is good, my brother. What's going on with you?
Everything is beautiful. Everything is beautiful.
Okay. Well, listen, man. You know, today's show is one of those shows that we have to get into it ASAP because it's going to be a lot of feedback. So let me officially welcome everybody back to the show this Sunday. I had to do a quick live on one of my platforms, Tom, because I wanted to make sure I got plenty of feedback because sometimes people see particular subjects that they want to give feedback on, and then there's other subjects that they just kind of want to listen. And so we've kind of figured out a formula to the ones to where, you know, we're going to get a little bit more feedback. People are going to speak up because they got stories, experiences, and examples to give, and some damn questions. So for those of you that don't know, myself, GGF The Dark, and, of course, GEI Tone, we have Necessary Convo every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The show is formerly known as Freaky Friday, right? Yeah, I got a couple of inboxes, man, talking about, hey, can we bring Freaky Friday back? but what we did, guys, is, you know, we kind of changed the platform a little bit. First of all, we put on Sundays because people are a little bit more chill. You did what you did this weekend, hopefully with no regrets. And at this point of your day, you're kind of winding down. And on top of that, you know, there's some topics that probably had happened throughout the week that we can go ahead and discuss and share. So this is one of those things. So can you let everybody know, make sure that they have the right number to text out and other options to get on today's crazy, crazy show.
Definitely, definitely. The number you want to give out is 516-387-1268. That's 516-387-1268. Or you can go to GEI Radio on Instagram and click the link, listen in online, or Necessary_Convo on Instagram, click the link and listen online. You can also chat with us online as well, too. So if you're listening to us online and you got questions, just type it in, I'll read it out. If you want to ask myself a question or Gigi a question, just press 1, and we'll get you on.
And there it is. Now, typically, this show is an hour show. So you guys have been spoiled for a while now because we've been going over an hour. We're going to do our best to keep the show at an hour. Obviously, your feedback, your energy, your questions and things like that may extend it beyond an hour. Another thing that I want to share is if you are tuning in online after an hour, you will not be able to continue on. If you jump on after a certain amount of time, you will also not be able to comment. So if you want to tap in, you press that 1 button so you can get on and you'll be in queue. We don't know your number. We don't know your name. We don't have no call ID. We don't have no robot that's going to hit you back asking for a survey of how you enjoy the show. None of that's going to happen, all right? So you could just, whatever you want to share, this is uncensored, unscripted, right? And so what happens in Necessary Convo pretty much stays in Necessary Convo. We're not going to ask you for your real name, your last 4, or your zip codes. You don't have to worry about any of that. It is completely anonymous, all right? Completely anonymous. Now, Tony, what's current, man? We got to knock out the current events, man. What's been going on in the world, bro?
Well, the Bucks won the title a week ago.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Milwaukee. I think that was their first one in 50 years. So congratulations to Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks. The biggest thing that I've seen was this Kanye West thing in Atlanta, the release party. I think I wrote this on my Instagram and Facebook, and, you know, I got some, you know, mixed feedback. But it's safe to say, outside of Michael Jackson, man, Kanye probably be the biggest artist of all time. I mean, this man just packed out. This man just packed out Mercedes-Benz Stadium for a listening party, not a concert. Just a listening party. This man was charging $50, $50 for chicken nuggets. $50. The menu. If you want to check out the rest of the menu, is online. I think the cheapest thing was like $35, but it was, you know, stuff that cost maybe $8-$9. He was charging $50 and $60 for it, and I'm guessing they was paying it. Nobody complained.
Yeah. So, man, it's one of those things to where I know that there's a lot of, you know, Atlanta is a melting pot. You know, not as diverse as New York, I would say, but it's still a melting pot as far as people in the States, not necessarily people in different countries. Now, there's plenty of folks out of the country coming in, but it's a melting pot for, you know, Midwesters, folks deeper in the South, East Coast, West Coast. A lot of people come right here to Atlanta specifically, not just Georgia, Atlanta specifically, because, you know, for different opportunities. You know, there's some culture here, and, you know, at the same time, there's a climate of what people may feel like is, you know, there's a lot of sauce here. You know, they feel like there's a lot of sauce. You can come here, it's like the you know, the southern version of Hollywood, Black Hollywood is what they call it sometimes. So, you know, there's a lot of drip, a lot of sauce here. There's a lot of flexing, probably more flexing than both of those two. But
yeah,
nevertheless,
definitely.
You know, it's just a lot of people here. And, you know, there's some people that are definitely Kanye fans, I'm sure, because I know a couple of homies that they are, you know, from Chicago and, you know, representing. And then there's a lot of people that, you know, they like to say that they went to the concert, you know, and paid whatever and did whatever. I mean, so that kind of comes with the territory. And that's just kind of, unfortunately, that's kind of, you know, where the culture is in some areas where people, you know, they want to be seen and things like that. Because, you know, there's artists local that can't pack out. They can't pack out, you know, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Hell, the damn Falcons can't. Let me say, hey, no disrespect, Dirty Birds, because I know there's a lot of Dirty Birds.
I actually found out something new. I did not know that Kanye was from Atlanta. He moved to Chicago.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, for sure.
I guess you could say he was back, coming back home. So I didn't know that. So they gave him a day. I think they gave him a Kanye day or something like that. So that was, you know, it was dope.
Yeah, day, like, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was dope.
Yeah,
that
I mean, cool. look how much money he just infused into the city. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you look at it that way, I'm pretty sure some people traveled to come in and flew in for that. So that's cool, man. I mean, you know, black culture, hip hop, you know, that type of thing. If that's how you get down, that's how you get down, man. So, you know, shout out to our brother. You know, I mean, ain't no need to hate. If you can do it, then you better do it. You better get it. Somebody else will if you don't.
Now before
right,
listen,
go ahead.
Before we get into the topic, somebody sent me a clip of a Chris Rock stand-up, and it was this portion of the clip was called Unconditional Love, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to ask Gigi about, you know, how he felt about this. In the clip, Chris Rock said that women, children, and dogs is the only people that get unconditional love. Men only get love based on what they provide.
Yeah, I've seen that floating around, and I want to say that you know who reposted it to try to make it seem like that was their original thought? The Game. Did you see he posted that, and that got that was all over the Shade Room, as if he came up with that.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, he reposted that. He reposted that a couple of weeks ago, and it was floating around. I'm like, Chris Rock has said that shit, like, years ago. But, I definitely want to get everybody I want to get you guys feedback on any and everything that we talk about, because that's how we get the flow of the show each week. So it doesn't matter when we talked about it, and how you feel about it, if it may clash or anything like that. Look, everybody, we're all about independent thinking. We're all about, you know, different perspectives. So there's zero judgment on however you feel about, you know, our content, the concept, or even if it's contrary to something we're saying. None of that, you know, affects in any way, negative way, if you have something different. So that's cool. But for that one, I think that there's a lot of truth to that from a standpoint of, you know, experiences and expectations. You know, obviously babies, you know, they're going to get a pass. Dogs are definitely going to get a pass because people feel like dogs are the most loyal thing in the world. You know, they're the most loyal thing in the world, so they're going to do whatever it takes to protect that dog because they feel like that dog's going to do whatever it takes, even to death, to protect that owner, protect that family member or fur parents, whatever you guys are calling yourselves nowadays. I can't keep up. But when it comes to women, because women should be protected, should be provided for by a man, right? I mean, yeah, if you got a dog, cool, but by a man, your father, uncle, your husband, your spouse, your companion, you know, that's an expectation. So, you know, when it comes down to it, I think there is some truth to it, you know, because guys is kind of like, hey, when it comes to guys and unconditional love, what people think about is, does he deserve it? is he worth it? Right? Has he earned it? You know, does he deserve it? Does he deserve me? Does he deserve my unconditional love? And you know, and what has he done for me to earn that? So I can't really be, you know, I mean, if you want to go technical and stuff like that, then you can always find loopholes in it. But the general statement, I would say that there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
What you thinking, Tom?
Yeah. I mean, listening to everything you said, yeah, I can, yeah, it is. It's unfortunate, but it is, you know. I think we like, you know, we last on the totem pole, so you know, which is it's okay because it should be like. I mean, now the dog is different, but the women and the children, yeah, it should be first. But I don't know the dog being getting more love than the man, that part. But you know, like you say, in some cases,
yeah, you know, some dogs have outlasted a woman's spouse. You know what I'm saying? Like they've had the dog for 20 years and their spouse or their companion, you know, they may not have made it to 5 years. You know, the dog been there before them, during them, and then show afterwards.
That's
so,
yeah.
You know, when you add that unconditional, I think that's what changes the dynamic, right? Because kids get a pass, no need to even talk about that. But even pets, you know, pets, do they really provide companionship, or do they just kind of fulfill a you know, some type of void? Because I mean, you can't have sex with the dog. You know what I'm saying? You can't do, you know, certain things, you know, with the dog outside of, you know, just being, you know, just kind of that affection. You know, physically, I mean, there's really nothing else you can really do with that dog. And plus, you always have to take care of the dog, you know. You have to. That's your responsibility, and you're not going to ever neglect that. At least hopefully you're not. Just like kids, you're not going to neglect those responsibilities. But that guy, how many of you said that he asked you, well, what's for dinner, and you say, whatever you cook? Hey, listen, man, we ain't even getting the show started, man. Don't make me go there, man. Let's jump in, man. So, listen, guys, just remember every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, myself, Gigi After Dark, GEI Tone, we rock out this Necessary Convo platform on GEI Radio. So make sure you lock in the number. Make sure you put it on your calendar. Make sure you put on your alarm. And make sure that you are floating that information every week. So, Tone, man, what are we talking about this Sunday?
So, last week I had a conversation with some people, and we were talking about, you know, child support. And the topic came up, where should the money go? Where should it go towards? Should it be if a man or a woman is paying child support, should the male or female put it in the bank until the child is 18? Should it go to bills? Should it go to whatever she wanted or he wanted to be? So I thought this would be a good topic. I mean, I don't have any kids, so I thought it would be cool to hear, you know, what everybody thought. If I did and I was in that situation, I would want the money to go into a fund or something until the kid get 18 or something, then they can have some money, you know, because it's their money. So they can have some money once they turn 18, you know, 16 or something like that. But I know situations come up where single mothers have to you know, use it for to help out with the household and stuff like that. So I kind of see it both ways. You know, call us what you think. GG, what you think? Having kids?
Yeah. So, you know, this subject can go a lot of different directions. So I want to make sure that we control the narrative on that, because it's not about, you know, questioning if somebody's taking care of the kid or not. So let's be very clear about that. It's more so on, you know, views of co-parenting, you know, how things are done from a financial aspect. And, you know, we could even dig into joint custody, because these are factors. Joint custody, you know, having full custody, like these are things that you have to take in consideration when we talk about support of the child. A lot of people say child support, but that can be taken out of context. If we look at it as support of the child, then we have to look at what does it take to do that. So, you know, me being a parent of four, my youngest is a senior in high school coming up, and that's it, man. So I've been a parent longer than I've been an adult. So this is going to be very interesting once this baby girl graduates and she plans on going to college. So we're going to support that. You know, I've had different experiences with, you know, with my kids' moms. And I said that plurally. And because where I was at the time, where they were at the time, and where we were together when we were together at the time, all that stuff played a factor. Because when we're together and we have children and we raise our kids together, then we know, because this is the household income, this is the household expenses, and this is what it takes to do that. Once you separate those households, then it's not split in half. It's now two whole separate households. So, you know, a lot of that stuff has to be taken in consideration. You know, whatever a person's income is, you know, because me coming up, man, I struggled a lot. You know, I struggled a lot, mainly because I had kids early. I had to do something to stabilize my income, to stabilize my household. So I went into the military. I wasn't going to anybody's college to waste anybody's money or scholarship and drop out. Mm-hmm. So I went in to, you know, the military, because I looked at it as I would have some steady income, I'd pick up a trade, a skill, and then if I decided to go to college later on, it would help me to do that. It would finance that later on. And so that's actually what wound up happening. But still, going into the military with no ROTC background, listen, if your kid wants to go into the military, get their asses in ROTC. So they can go in there and they can have a little bit of clout going in. Don't let them go in there with no stripes, no rank, and starting from the bottom. It's not even funny. So going in there, I didn't make a whole lot of money, even though, you know, I didn't have to pay for housing and things like that. I still didn't have a bunch of income, because it's not like I was a captain or a major or a colonel in that motherfucker, right? So that's what would have made the difference if I was an officer, but I wasn't. So, you know, so for me, that's kind of what I had to do. So, you know, it was a struggle, I would say, all the way up to maybe my mid-20s. Mid-20s, it was a struggle with, you know, steady income and being able to actually properly provide for a household. And by that time, by the time I was 25, I had already had three children at 25, two in high school. And then, you know, there was one from my first marriage. So, of course, at that point, man, even if I'm making good money, and I got a chance to make what I would consider good money at that time, you know, $20 an hour, that I'm still providing for my household and two kids outside of the household. So when you talk about child support, even if I could equally divide it up, that would leave where I lived, very, very minimal. You understand what I'm saying? Very, very minimum to live. So that wasn't something that was plausible or realistic. So even in the court system, you know, they look at your total income and they look at all your true obligations that you can quote unquote prove. Even if I was making good money, that first child is going to get, you know, the most. And then each subsequent child is going to get a lesser amount according to what's left. And I'm trying to break this down so, because I know it's going to help somebody understand if they want to understand. Because there's a lot of brothers out there that they feel like, look, well, I'd rather hustle then, because if I got $20 an hour and then my check is $1,200 every 2 weeks, and I got child support for four kids, then I'm gonna have $12 left, and then I can't live off of that. But I'm working my ass off, and you know it's kind of one of those things, because you have to be responsible, you have to be accountable. At the same time, these kids didn't ask to be here, right? So since they are here,
yeah,
you gotta do your job, whatever it takes, you know.
Yeah.
So all that being said. You know, all that being said, I think that those are some factors. So there's really no easy or simple answer, because when it comes down to it, sometimes that money, whether it be $200, whether it be $2,500, some of that money has to make sure that household is good so that you can properly take care of the child or the children that are within that household, right? So you know, if the mom has two kids or she has three kids or four kids, then you also have to factor in daycare, right? You have to factor in daycare. You have to factor in, you know, all these other things that, you know, she has to do. And there's so much more to it, because you may have had a blended household. You may have children from, you know, multiple other parents and things like that. One not doing so much. One doing just what's required on paper, and then one doing, mm-hmm. you know, whenever they want to do it. So I already know that I see the calls lighting up when it comes to having that conversation. and then, you know, you also got to factor in the amicable relationship of the parents. Is it amicable to co-parent? Because if not, then that custodial parent may be on a vengeance, right? Like, look, okay, you've been giving me $200 a week, but that ain't covering groceries for little man, but for 3 days. So if you don't want to do more than that, then you know what? I'm going to see to it that you get assigned to do more than that. And then, you know, big man's like, oh, okay, well, do what you got to do. Meanwhile, you know, he hoping she ain't doing what she about to do. And so he go from doing his 200 to actually doing less until he get that paperwork served and they make him do 400 now. And, you know, so there's just so much tied in to it. Unfortunately, you know, it does have a lot to do nowadays with the relationship of the parents actually co-parenting. I wish people handled it more like a business. I wish they did, because if they did, then, you know, they would put something in place to where they both agree to it, and it makes sense on both ends, because just like anything, you don't want to start doing something that you can't keep up, right? She's like, okay, well, we need this, and you're like, all right, I'll do it, and you really not able to do that. So when shit hits the fan 3 months later, 6 months later, now she's looking at you because you seem to like you're falling off. Meanwhile, you ain't tell her that, hey, you know what, I was just doing that, you know, because that's what you said you needed. That's not necessarily what I could do consistently. And it can get really messy at that point. I mean, y'all got stories.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. So if you're paying, do you think it's fair if you're paying child support, less, you know, whatever, $300 a week for your child, and but the money is not going to the child. It's going to bills or something else. Do you think that's fair? Like, let's say if your kid needed, wanted to play sports or something like that, and the mother, or, you know, it could go both ways, mother or father, because I know some mothers are on child support. So, you know, we're just talking mother and father both ways. Is it fair to get more money, even though you're paying, you know, you're paying what they told you to pay?
Right. So, you know, when it comes to the child support amount, I think it's important how that was configured, like I mentioned earlier, because first of all, I had a child with this mother. I had a child with this woman, right? So this isn't a stranger. This isn't somebody that I didn't know. Well, hopefully it ain't. So there it was a relationship or a friendship at minimum at some point. So that's why I say that having that relationship and co-parenting is so important, because there has to be a trust factor, right? That's almost like saying, okay, if I say that I'm going to give you $300, right, and she can be like, okay, but I know you can do more. So why do $300 when I know you can do $600? Well, now she's all in my business. She's like, well, I know that you make X, Y, Z. And that, it's unfortunate. It's a simple question, but it's not an easy answer. I never was the type of father or the type of co-parent to worry about how she was spending the money. And maybe because I was active in the kid's life, but at the same time, there was times where I was struggling. So when I was struggling, and if I'm supposed to give her $150 a week and I couldn't do it, she understood, whether she liked it or not, whether she cursed me out or talked about me to somebody, whatever. The fact of the matter is that's what it was. And, you know, so there's always going to be a time where that kid needs more than whatever, you know, you figured out. And that's why I'm like, it depends on how that amount came about. Now, if the system puts it together, then the system is going to go by whatever their calculations are. And their calculations aren't typically geared for the non-custodial child. They're typically geared to where that child resides. Where that child resides, right? So it's typically geared for that. So they factor in some stuff. So, to answer your question, as far as it being fair, I'm not here to control how she spends the money, because I don't want her feeling like she can control what I do when the child's with me, right? You're not going to tell me what I can spend, what I shouldn't have spent, where we can go, what our limitations are. And, you know, the thing about it is you want to create the best atmosphere where that child lives at. So it's not about what you got and what I got. It's about putting that kid in the best atmosphere. And the last thing is, you know, what I learned is if you do have a child support amount, a set amount, you know, you always want to pay that. Now, what you do outside of that is not extra. It's more support from your end to that kid, to that child.
Yeah.
You're not going above and beyond if you spend an extra $200, $400, $500 a month on your child. You know what I mean? And so I think that gets misconstrued a lot of times, that guys that aren't that custodial parent are really worried about how the custodial parent is spending that money. But I do believe that money goes wherever it needs to go, because you're trusting the child of, you know, the parent of your child to do whatever it takes, because there's going to be things that you don't know about. There's going to be expenses that were made that you'll probably never know about that they've done and didn't call you and say, hey, I need an extra this, I need an extra that, because these things came up. They're just going to take care of it. So you're not in the household, so I wouldn't worry about that. And I don't want nobody worried about how it goes down in my household.
Definitely. Let's get a caller on. 7414. GEI Radio, you on.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are y'all?
Hey. Good.
I'm a single parent. I'm doing great, thank you. So I'm a single parent of a little girl. Her dad and I, we pretty much broke up during the course of the pregnancy. So it kind of started off rocky before she even came. However, I tried to work through it and decided to part our ways. But I didn't ever want to go into the court system at all.
Yeah.
So I positioned because I'm more business-minded, so I positioned a plan like, okay, during the school time, we get together, get her fall clothes for school, as well as spring. We come together for that.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of, if she's doing any type of events or activities, we come in, we can do 50-50. But if it's something else that she possibly may need through the course of the year that we just see that she needs or wants, you get that on your own, unless it's a big ticket item that we can discuss and just move on. Well, he didn't like that plan. Well, it came down once we went through court, that was the same plan that they pretty much gave us. A little bit more in my favor, but it pretty much came out to be the same way when you think dollar amount. He didn't like it, but he got put on child support. But it took me 2 years to get him on child support because he was running and bouncing everywhere. So they backdated the day that she was born.
Catch me if you can.
Yeah. So they backdated to the day that he was born, she was born. But he doesn't pay consistently. I just take care of everything. You know, whatever she needs, I go ahead and take care of it. So probably, by the time he does send the money, I'll probably spend it on myself because I've done everything for her anyway. Or is it something that
you're reimbursing yourself for the expenses?
Yeah, it's pretty much reimbursing myself because I've already taken care of and she's good. Most of the time, if nothing I need to do, I just take it out and put it into her bank account that I have set aside for her, too. So, and it's like now we're going through a thing where, because at this point, I'm just tired of going back and forth at court. I did a lot of that initially, taking a lot of my PTO, trying to go to court and do all that. I just can't do that anymore. I'm beyond that. Because we've been almost in it for 8 years and you're doing the same thing. Court system is now adjusting him on their own. I don't call or anything because they know at this time you should be paying what you need to pay. And so he's going back and forth with the court stating, you know, I made a decision without his knowledge, but he don't call. We're in the same city. He doesn't really call her like that. She does go over there, but on a day-to-day basis, she doesn't hear from him. It may go 2 weeks, and then he'll say, hey, I want to see her. And I'm okay. You know, as long as I told him, as long as she's okay with coming, I'm not in that. The day that she says I don't want to go, then we'll talk about it. But at this moment, she can go and come with you as she please. He got upset last.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Before you go into that, let me ask you now, how old is your daughter?
She's 7.
She's 7. Now, have you or him had any other children since she's been born?
Oh, well, let me backtrack there. He has a son that is 14. So he already had a child prior to, but he and that mother were never on child support.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up getting on child support piggybacking off of me because I put him on child support. But I was the first child, so the rate goes with me. He just had a little girl during 2020, so he has a 1.5-year-old now. I don't think that child is on child support. So, yes, he has a total of 3. I just have 1.
Okay. And the reason why I say that is because there's always underlying factors why somebody either doesn't want to do something or does something a certain way. And it's apparent, you know, for him that, you know, he has expectations of the mothers of his kids. Number one, you know, he might feel like, hey, my wood is superior, so you should treat me without having to do. I mean, you laugh, but, you know, some guys think that way, right? I slang, so that shouldn't even really be a fact when it comes to the court system. I'm going to take care of her when I take care of her. I'm going to take care of you whenever you want me to take care of you, wink, wink. And it be like that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, as men, we have to be a lot more responsible and accountable for our actions because, you know, if he had a child prior to you, making sure that that child has, you know, consistent arrangements financially and making sure that he is providing emotional, you know, social, physical support, you know, before having another child. So, you know, I find it interesting that you guys were having some issues with baby girl, and at the same time he's over here and, you know, has another child, obviously,
well,
you know, some time ago in the midst of that.
I don't accept a lot of the things that he feeds, and they
right.
do.
Right.
So me
right.
and him butt heads quite often, because I know how he kind of operates and how he maneuvers or manipulates things, and they're okay with it. Even with the latest child that he had, you know, she wanted, I know her before they even dated, but she wanted to have a sit down with me and ask me about, you know, how everything transpired.
Wow. Between you and him.
You know, yeah. And, you know, it was me, him, and her. And I asked him, you know, do you want me to be honest and open, you know, with this? Because I don't want to, you know, I don't have to talk, but he was like, no, you know, tell your truth or whatever. So, you know, we explained, we got into the child support. We talked about the relationship briefly. And she had her questions and her doubts, yet she still ended up pregnant, but they're not even together anymore. They broke up, you know, so, you know, but I told him, don't put me in anything else ever again. You know, I let them find out their own way. It's no longer, that's not my bag to hold. So, but you know, even when she was in school, this, you know, during quarantine, I had to make the decision to keep her out of school. And I had to actually, me and a couple of parents, we hired a retired teacher to teach our kids because we wasn't comfortable. So, of course, that came to be almost like a daycare expense. But I had no choice. Nobody did because we didn't know how that was going to fare with the kids in school. Well, he took me to court saying, you know, well, she didn't discuss it with me. But you don't answer my calls either.
Right.
So whether if I tried to discuss
right.
it. You know, you don't help me on a day-to-day basis to pick her up, drop her off.
Right.
Even if it's an emergency, I can't depend on you. There's several times that I did depend on you, and you left her at school, and the state was called. So, you know, my trust factor on just small things are not there. So I'm definitely not going to lean on you for the bigger things. I just have to make those decisions. And that was one I had to make for the benefit of me and my job and what I had to do day to day. But they end up, you know, agreeing with me, you know, that I had to take care of my business. And he's having to reimburse me for it.
Yeah, and you know, that's going to continue on and on because once you get the court systems involved, once you get the court system involved, because at the same time, you know, they want to make sure that the child is getting the allocated funds. But as those funds are collected, they get a piece of that. So it's in their best interest for them to get, you know, their piece of the pie. You know, and that's why I find it so important for you know, the parents to come together, especially non-married folks. Non-married folks, you have to put something in position, some type of co-parenting plan, and, you know, whatever those numbers are, like you attempted to do in the beginning, because once that is in place, once that's in place, that is enforceable, right? So it now it's like, this is what we agree. All we're asking you to do is what was agreed, not what was assigned, not what we calculated and things like that. And so I think when it comes to, you know, this topic, it can be, you know, a little bit, it can get intense for some people. But when you when you think about the simplicity of it, there is a simple way to address it. If you can extract the feelings, the emotions, the animosity, the resentment, and you look at the child and what that child needs, and if that's priority of when you guys come together, you could put something together. Like, you know, my thing is, even if it is a lower amount, you know, let's just say, I think the minimum here in Georgia is like $50 a week. It may be $25, I don't know for sure. But let's just say it's $50 a week, so that's $200 a month. Now, if you agree to $50 a week, $200 a month, then that should be something that you do and do consistently, versus $50 a week is better than $1,000 every 6 months. Every 6 months. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Because by the time you get to 6 months and you want to drop a stack, you don't know what the hell that custodial parent did to make ends meet. And so now it's kind of like, okay, yeah, you gave $1,000, but what do I got to do? Wait another 6 months? I got to wait another 18 months for another, what, $200, $300? So the consistency, because that kid needs shit every day, right? Yeah. The kid needs shit every single day. And so, you know, and it's a challenge when you start. Go ahead.
And I'm sorry. I was so, even after the name calls and all of that that I got coming from him, I was still trying to be supportive, because he was trying to kick off his own tree company. So I was, you know, trying to help him. And I said, hey, because my dad was at that point in time was just about to retire from the city and a tree personnel job there. So this could help him in my mind, thinking business like.
No,
okay,
he ain't taking no handouts.
No, well, no, not ahead. That. I was just saying, take this job. Get your, you know, get the benefits from the city, and then build your clientele, because you're going to be around and about the city, and you get your clientele while you're out and about. That way, that can help you on the flip side for your own business. Then that, you know, because I helped him create business cards, cartel, all that. So, you know, I was trying to get him on the business side of things, regardless of how I may feel as him as a parent. At the end of the day, I was thinking on the back end, we still have a child together. So I said, you know, I just feel like nobody should struggle if you're parents. At the end of the day, if you tell me, hey, I got this going on, this is what I need, that's why I say don't put it in the court system, because we can go in and adjust it ourselves according to our lifestyle, what's happening. I got this going on.
Yeah.
Well, I may have to scale back and give you this much. I got all this straightened out. So I was okay with that. But then, you know, when you come with, because I know how he operates, he carries a lot of cash, because he does a lot of cash business with the tree services.
Yeah,
he did a lot of
definitely.
Cash. So I know you bring in a lot of cash, because I held a lot of cash for you when I was pregnant. So I knew what the business held, and I knew what it could bring in, but you get in court and flip it as if you're making chunk change.
Shillings. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, a lot of brothers play that game.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And that's why I say me and him were different, because the other two, they were okay with how he moved, once he was bringing it in. But see, I guess I was more involved in it, so I knew how his business moved and operated because I was helping him move it along. So, you know, but he didn't care for that too much. So this is where we are today. But even still today, you know, if we talk through things, you know, I still give him suggestions and help him out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, this has been, you know, first of all, we appreciate you sharing your experience. You didn't have to do that. I believe that there are a lot of callers on here from both ends that can relate to what you're saying as far as helping that guy, you know, being a rider for him. And even at the end of that whole situation, you know, he makes a decision to do more on the personal side than handling business with the child. Because even with everything that you said, if you think about it, it ultimately should benefit the child, right? So if a guy feels like, you know, making that type of income, even if the income is on paper, being able to have some type of steady income that, you know, the folks are going to get his check, then I'd rather, you know, do stuff under the table, or I'd rather not do stuff at all. You know, it just kind of goes back to what you said in the beginning. You know, devise a plan outside of the system. Now, not the courts, because people get mixed up. It's not the courts that do that. The courts enforce
right.
an order. They sign off
right.
on an order. So I think that there's that gets misconstrued a lot, that the courts are doing such a thing. And it's not. It's if you have to go to some type of enforcement. Once you go to enforcement, that's when they're going to calculate and they're going to use all the damn resources. It's the state, man. The state got access
oh, yeah.
to shit, right? So they can
oh,
find
yeah.
your ass. They can find out where your mama and them live at, where you drop the car off over the weekend so nobody could – they could do all that. You know, everything
mm-hmm.
is linked. So I don't have an issue with – taking certain things to court. What I have an issue is when people do not want to come together for whatever reason and devise a plan of action for that child, because you can modify that shit whenever it needs to be modified.
Exactly.
Right? And you can go in on your own. You don't have to, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to wait. You don't have to get permission. You don't have to submit nothing. You go in there and you modify that cool order. And I think that more important than all of that, especially when you're dealing with two people that understand that, okay, we created a child, even though we're not going to be together, we created a human being together. So let's position this child, because it's both of our responsibility. So what I mean by that is I think that people should, couples that have a kid, if they're not going to get married, if it ain't happening or whatever, I think that they should legitimize that child. And you know, a lot of guys do not know their right to do that, because child support is financial only. You go into child support, they ain't going to tell you nothing about visitations. They ain't going to talk about you need to make sure that you pick them up from the bus stop on the Friday. Child support is going to talk about the finances and
it.
Insurance, of course, but that well-being of that child. So people get mad at child support, but they don't get upset about the actual care plan. You know what I mean? Because if you have a care plan, they factor that in with the child support. So that means if you have that child 50% of the time, 40% of the time, 30% of the time, then when that child is with you, obviously you have some expenses there. And it just, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, Tone had, you know, decided to put this out there. And I think it's a necessary combo. At the same time, more important to really get to the root. And that's why I ask what I ask, because
yeah,
sometimes we don't plan for that child to get here, you know, but the child is here. So we have to be accountable and we have to be responsible regardless of what that romantic relationship is or is no longer. And that's right. The tough part. I'd say it's tough for guys because we can be possessive, right? We don't want y'all with nobody else. We damn sure don't want you to have no child after we done you done drop one for us, right? Now who this dude? And who and why he around my kid? And you know, what he about? You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, even on the women's side, okay, now you in a new relationship. The time that you would come over and pick up little Tim, you know, now you can't do weekends no more. Now you tired for, you know, just all of these different things, which has absolutely nothing to do with the care of that child. That, you know, and they deserve the emotional support, spiritual support, physical support, and a financial support. So, you know, if we could prioritize that and, you know, get out of our feelings and our pride and our ego, then, you know, we can make some sense out of co-parenting, because I truly believe that, you know, kids need both parents because the damn DNA is in that kid of both parents. So there's automatically a yearning, a wanting, whether it's suppressed or not, that child at some point is going to want some type of time or knowledge of that other parent. And I think that's a whole another topic that I'm not prepared to go into, but I think it is a factor. So, you know, we definitely appreciate you sharing your story. Have you listened to our show before? Is this your first time?
Oh, I've listened several times.
Okay, all right, cool. This the one though. This the one that got you pressing one. Though.
I pressed one on a couple of them.
Okay. Well, thank you. We appreciate you jumping on here and kicking things off.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in,
man. You know the one thing about when we talk about co-parenting, one of the things that is such a big factor is how did that child get here? You know what I mean? Like, was you just sex partners? Were you actually dating? Were you married?
It don't
were
even
you
matter,
engaged?
GG. It don't even
no,
matter.
No. It does matter. No, listen to me. It does matter. Now, should it make a difference? No. But does it matter? Absolutely. Because a lot of this stuff goes into that child's DNA, is what I'm saying. Right, so that kid has a yearning for their mom or yearning for their dad, because when they came together to make that child, it's like, I mean, because if you think about it this way, Tony, you got to think about it this way. Of course, the children are here and they didn't ask to be here. At the same time, there is a difference when you attempt to raise a child together versus somebody getting pregnant and that guy stepping away, or a woman trying to get pregnant for this guy and he said that he didn't want any kids, and they do it anyway. So once that child is here, the way that other parent goes about forcing the issue can make a big difference, because that guy, you know, let's just talk real. Both people should be responsible first and foremost. You can't put it on just a guy. You can't put it on just a woman. Both people should be responsible. And some people are responsible. The contraceptive doesn't work. The rubber bus. I don't have a bus rubber. the rubber bus or whatever the situation is. A lot of times, once that woman is pregnant, is when things switch. That's when the switch happens. And it's bad.
Yeah, I think that's because a lot of these dudes is cowards. Like, here's the thing. We all know if you have sex, there's a possibility that you can get pregnant. We all grown. We all know that, right? Whether you have a condom on or not, it can happen. So if it happens, even if it was just a one-night stand or no matter what the situation was, if she's pregnant and it's yours, you have to man up. Now, whatever that means, like even if that means you're not going to be with her, but you still have to take care of that kid. You can't say, oh, it was just one night. I really didn't want a kid. That's not how it goes. You know what I'm saying? That's cowardly. Like, that's your kid. You need to take care of it, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. You know what I'm saying? You need to sit down with her and figure out a way to do it. You know what I'm saying? That's how I think. That's how I feel about it. No matter if you wanted one or not, you got one now. So suck it up and do what you need to do. It's that simple. If you don't want no kids, don't have sex. And we know that's not going to happen, so you got to know that it can happen. So be prepared for it. You know what I mean? You can't put it on a woman to do that and be, you know, pull a call. Well, I really didn't want it. Oh, she kept it. I want her to get rid of it. Like, you can't make that decision. You know what I mean? I think it's just be cowards, bro.
Yeah. What if she has an abortion? What if she aborts and he wanted a child? Then what?
It's a messed up thing. You know what I'm saying? If he wanted it, it's messed up. Oh, okay. But it's still, at the end of the day, it's kind of like her decision. You know what I'm saying? I would be mad, but I would understand, like, it's kind of like her decision. I can't really tell her what to do with her body. I would want her to keep it, but if she get rid of it, I would be upset, but then, you know, a part of me will understand.
Okay, so you can understand for her. Would you consider that womaning up? Okay, you pregnant, have that child? If he can man up
at him, like,
and take care of the child, can she woman up?
You can look at it like that.
I just want to throw a little wrench in there.
Oh, yeah. You can look at it like that, but I wouldn't be upset with her, though. I mean, I would be upset that, you know, if I wanted a kid and she got rid of it, I would be upset. But I guess it's just that thing, you know what I mean? It is what it is. Like, I would kind of understand, like, it's her body. You know what I mean? Like, I can't make her have it or make her get rid of it. You know what I'm saying? It's her decision, and whatever decision she makes, you know, I just got to ride with it. It's just one of those things.
Okay, and so, right, then why she can't respect his decision if he said that he didn't want one, she still had it. If he don't want that child, you're saying that he should take care of that child, he should be in that child's life,
if she
regardless?
Keep it, yeah, if she keep it. You don't have a choice, it's yours. You get what I'm saying? Like, you don't have – that's the thing. Like, she hold the cards. Like, you don't have that choice. If she says she keeping it, you prepared to be a dad. You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't want it, you got to prepare to be a dad. It's a sucky situation, but it just – that's the decision she made. You know, and here's the thing. Like, this is the thing that kind of gets me upset with some guys, right? You know, you won't take care of this kid, but you'll get in a relationship with another woman with kids and be a great father over there. Like, I never understood that. Like, if you don't take care of all your kids, whether it's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then you a deadbeat. You can't take care four out of five and say you're a good parent. Like, you're not. If you got five kids, you need to take care of all five of them the same way. If you don't, you're a deadbeat.
Okay.
You don't get no, you know what I mean, ain't no percentage like, well, I do take care of 5 out of 6. Nah, you're a deadbeat. You got 6 kids, you take care of 6 kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's one of those things to where if we look at the fundamentals of it, how many people got here on this earth from being love childs, meaning the mother, the father was in love, they was together, they made a conscious decision together, to have a planned pregnancy, to raise their family together, right? Like, what is the percentage of that realistically? A lot of us were here. A lot of us got here from, you know, different situations and different scenarios. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, now that us, you know, the children are here, you have to play your part. And I think the best way to play your part is to communicate, because creating a human is so vital that I remember one day I was just thinking to myself, if you need to have a license to get married, you should have a license to have a child, right? Both
yeah.
your parents need to fill out an application, and you need to go
yeah.
through a screening process, and you need to go through counseling, right?
Yes.
Preconceptional counseling before
yeah.
you have a child, because a lot of times, you know, sex can be a part of emotions, right? An emotional experience. And sometimes with emotions, we don't think logically, right? So we just think that, okay, I want to have sex with this person, or they sexy as hell, or, you know, he got some inches for me, or she got the WAP or something like that. But they don't utilize or think about sex being part of procreation. You don't think about that. You think about sex being fulfilling, satisfactory, you know, basically getting your needs met, but you don't think about the procreation part. And if we did, then there'd be a lot of people that probably wouldn't be here, or we probably wouldn't have had sex with, because we did not want to procreate with that individual. We might want to have sex with them, but we ain't want to procreate with them. And, you know, there's people that have that mentality. You know, there's people that decided not to have children or don't want children, and they make a conscious decision of until they feel like it's the right time, having the right partner, and, you know, making sure that they're positioned as a family or a household to do it. And even single people are there's people that are waiting. You know, eggs are being froze. The sperm bank, you know, inventory is loading up. So there are people that actually think that way. So we can't say that there aren't people that don't think that way and that have
yeah.
not or are not planning pregnancy. But at the same time, there's also a lot of people that have taken being a parent very irresponsibly.
Yeah.
Right, very irresponsibly. And, you know, how many relationships can we think about to where, you know, things was cool, you know, you was dating, you was years in considering marriage and things like that. Then, you know, a pregnancy pop up, then the baby's here, and then 6 months later, you out, or something ain't right, or, you know, this ain't it. You know, and so at this point, here we are 2021. A lot of those times, a lot of those situations, those kids are graduating now, right? Those kids are in college. Those kids graduated from college, going into college, becoming in
mm-hmm.
high school and things like that. So, you know, the thing about it is, once that kid is here, why not make sure that that child has the best experience growing up? Because you only grow up one time. You only grow up to an adult one time from a child. You know, and so I know for me, I got to a point to where, you know, even having multiple kids and things like that, man, I was like, look, I don't want no more kids, number one. I ain't even get a chance to do everything that I wanted to do with the kids that are here, and they deserve better. But not only that, if I am going to experience having another child, which that ain't in the cards, that ain't in the game plan, I would want that to be different, because I'm older, I'm wiser, you know, I'm more established. But at the same time, what do I want to do with that time in my life? In my 40s, do I want a toddler running around here? And do I want gates? Do I want the little kid gates around my damn house like that? Hey, where I'm at right now, hey, listen, you can't even put no little kitty gates around here. It wouldn't even make sense. It wouldn't even be right. So, I think as men, because it does go back to being, a provider, I think as men, we do have to think of the bigger picture. Like, if we was man enough to finesse her into getting her draws, and then, the kid is here, and we told her to take it, and she said, I'll take it, Daddy, and all that, got the little Freaky Friday stuff in there. And he told me, you want me to pull out? And she told me to pull out. He's too late. Never mind. Go ahead. Right? So you go through that whole motion. Okay, so like you said, Tom, it's time to handle that responsibility. So if you can go ahead and do that, get them back shots and put that baby boy back there, then you definitely should be able to contribute in raising that child, man. So this has been a really interesting one, man.
You don't have to be with the mother to raise your kid, to give her help. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just need to be a father. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it should be a 50-50 thing. A mother shouldn't be, doing all the work with a parent, with another parent living. Now, if the pops die or something like that, then yeah. But if you walking around here, you still got on Jordan, you still going to the club, you still taking vacations, then you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you Instagramming and all that. Like, nah, bro, you need to.
Yeah.
Nah, she need to call you out. You know what I mean? You need to be called out.
You finding a way to get what you want.
Yeah, I seen this post that said, don't ask the streets if he a real dude, ask his kids. You know what I mean? And that's real.
Mm-hmm.
Just man up, bro. Like, man up. Take care of your kids or don't have sex. One of the two. We're going to end it like that.
Pretty much. Yeah, we shall. We appreciate you guys chiming in. We want to thank the one and only caller that jumped in here and really dropped some information that I think that a lot of us have can relate to, whether it's directly or indirectly. Shout out to the messages and the DMs during the broadcast. One of the callers said, Tone, we appreciate what you're saying because that's what we've been experiencing. We also had someone that says that, Gigi, thank you for, giving an insight on what really goes on. A lot of times things seem one-sided, but there's more to the story. And one more here that said that somebody said that they thought they was in queue. Somebody said they thought they was in queue waiting. So I guess they did not press one or they did not press one in time to get on here. So we're here every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Myself, Gigi After Dark, G.I. Tone. Hey, congratulations on one thing that we did not address was GEI Weekend last weekend. It was very successful. Had a good time. Listen, y'all, I try my best to hang out with these guys when it's time to celebrate. And I am consistently, even after I guess it's been 5-6 years now, maybe more, I don't know, 2 a.m. is my limit. If you see me out past 2 a.m., it is against my will. So please call the police. Somebody's holding me at gunpoint to stay out. So, so much going on here with GEI Network, GEI Radio. You guys stay connected, and I'll just go ahead and announce that we are also still soliciting a female co-host. What we've decided to do, the powers that be, we're going to do a series. So we're going to, I think we'll narrow it down. We haven't decided what that number is, maybe somewhere in the 3-4 range. And then we will allow one co-host at a time to jump on here and see how the vibe is. And then we're just going to go from there. So we just added a layer to it, which I think is going to be really, really exciting. And, again, you know, thank you, everybody, for tuning in on a consistent basis. This platform is growing so much that we have some deals on the table to kind of expand it even to a point to where you have some visuals. So you don't have to just look at the flyer, right? Hey, Toe, man, let folks know how to stay connected, man, with the show and connected with you.
Definitely, definitely. You can follow GEI Radio on all social media platforms. You can follow the actual show on Instagram, Necessary_Convo. You can follow myself, GEI_Tone, on all social media platforms. And make sure you subscribe to the GEI Network. TG, where can they find you at?
Yeah, definitely. You can find me at your nearest local supermarket getting pineapples, right? I'm in the mood for pineapples, so you might see me at your local Whole Foods, Publix, who knows. Anyway, just real quick, guys, I'm right here in the Atlanta area, and I'm actually building a network mixer real soon. So to stay connected with that, of course, on the Facebook page, I Am Rob Malloy is the business page. But you can also find me at Malloy Rob, MallloyRob. All the other social media platforms, of course, is I Am Rob Malloy and GG After Dark, to include websites, robmalloy.com and ggafterdark.com. So, man, we appreciate you guys. Hey, it's thundering, man. It's thundering here in Atlanta. So, you know, we about to keep it cool for the rest of the evening. But we definitely appreciate everybody's support. And keep rocking with us. Keep submitting your videos and everything. Go to the IG, and you know how to get to us, and keep submitting. So we appreciate you guys. Definitely. Thanks for the love and the support.
Definitely. Everybody have a good night. Peace.
All right. Peace.